The reading of good books and any other pious exercises are useless unless they are the channels through which God operates. All our learning should consist of finding out what God has planned for us at each moment. Anything we read which is not chosen for us by God is harmful. We receive grace through the will of God, and this grace works within us through our reading and through everything else we do. Without God, all our theorizing and reading are useless. And as a result, they are without the life-giving power of God. All they do is drain the heart and fill the mind. The will of God working in the soul of a simple, ignorant girl, through quite ordinary sufferings and actions, produces deep within her a supernatural activity, yet leaves her quite humble. How different this is from the case of the man, proud of his intellect, who reads spiritual books only out of curiosity and with no link to God. What happens to him? Well, he receives only the dead letter of the message, and his heart grows steadily harder and more shrunken. The designs of God and his will give life to the soul in whatever guise they appear, nourishing and developing it by giving it what is best for it. This happy state is not brought about by any special happening, but by what God has willed for each moment. What was the best thing for us to do in the moment that has passed is no longer so. For the will of God is now manifesting itself in those circumstances which are the duty of the present moment. It is the fulfilling of this duty, no matter in what guise it presents itself, which does most to make one holy. For example, if it is God's will that the present moment should be spent in reading, then reading will exert a mystical power in the depths of the soul. But if he wishes us to abandon reading for the duty of contemplation, then it is contemplation which will work on our souls, and reading would be useless and detrimental. If he wants us to put aside contemplation in order to hear confessions, even for a very considerable time, this duty unites us with Jesus Christ, and all the sweetness and contemplation would then only destroy this union. All our moments are made productive by our obedience to the will of God, which reveals itself in a thousand different ways, each of which successively becomes our immediate duty. Together they mold and perfect within us that new self, until we reach that complete fulfillment of ourselves which God's wisdom has ordained for us. This mysterious growth of Jesus Christ in our souls is the end determined by God, the fruit of his grace and his holy will. As I have said, this fruit is produced, grows, and is fed by the stream of duties put before us by God. By discharging these duties, we can be certain we are choosing the better part. We have to do nothing except allow his holy will to work within us and surrender ourselves to it blindly with absolute confidence. His will is all-wise, all-powerful, and infinitely kind to all who trust it completely and without reserve, to all who love it and seek nothing else. Believe with firm faith and resolute confidence that what it assigns for each moment is best, and do not go around seeking for other things or try to fathom the links between events and God's designs, which are merely inquiries prompted by self-love. All things owe their nature, their reality, and their strength to the will of God, which adapts them so they benefit our souls. Without it, all is nothing, empty and false, vanity, mere husks and death. It is the salvation, the well-being, and the life of the body and the soul. We must not scrutinize things to see if they will benefit our mind or body. It is not important. The will of God confers upon all things the power to implant Jesus Christ in the depths of our hearts. We must not attempt to set limits to his omnipotent will. It does not matter what ideas fill the mind, nor what the body feels, whether the mind is distracted and worried, or the body suffering or dying. The will of God is always for the present moment the life of the body and of the soul. For both of them, no matter in what condition they are sustained by it alone. Bread is a poison without it. With it, poison is a safe medicine. Without it, books only confuse the mind, but with it, confusion becomes clarity. It is all that is good and true in everything and gives us God in all things. He is the all-perfect being, and when we possess him, we need nothing else.